is Bad Boys and Beyond with your hosts, Mike Payton and Keith Black Trudeau.
That's it, baby, I'm foul.
Hey, I'll put it in the front page, back page, middle page, wherever headliners, column one or two, we will win game two. Good back it off, we will win game two.
The game's over and the Pistons have won the world championship.
Welcome back to the Bad Boys and Beyond podcast. We are your hosts, Mike Payton and Keith Black Trudeau. And we have had some huge episodes in the past, all surrounding NBA drafts. We did the 1996 draft. We had the Bun and Cardigan boys on for that one. We did the 2003 draft. We had guests on for that. And of course, here we are with the next gigantic draft, the 2020 draft. But we do have some big guests. We have some huge guests this week. First off, we got the man himself. One half of the Detroit Players, athletic beat writer for the Detroit Pistons, James Edwards, joining us. James, welcome back.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me. I'm honored to take part in this this prestigious draft class.
Yep, it's a legendary one for sure. And then we got we've got the other half of the Pistons Pulse. We've had Bryce Simon on before, but we've got Detroit News' own Amari Sankova joining us today.
Detroit Free Press.
Oh man, my bad. Yeah, too many newspapers in this town.
Detroit Free Press. And I'm happy to be here. I think yep. I get the fun part of the draft, so we'll see. Grand opening, grand closing.
He'll
never now be back.
And the podcast ended there. I'm sorry, Amari. And now I'm rhyming. But here we go. Let's get into this. Today we're going to talk about the 2020 NBA draft like I suggested. Now, the big thing about this 2020 draft that everybody might remember is that this is when we were all locked in our houses during the pandemic. And I'm curious what life was like for James and Amari during the pandemic. I know, James, that you were Pistons beat writer during that time. Amari, mm-hmm. were you as well?
I started right when the pandemic hit. So okay. Yeah, my story is going to be a little different than James's, I'm sure.
What's it like being an empty
first,
arena?
Though. What was that, Mike?
What's it like being in that empty arena?
It was just weird because, like, the day I accepted the Free Press job was the same day Rudy Gobert tested positive. So, you know, like, before we even got to the arena, for me, it was just 7 months without a game to cover when I first took the job. So, the empty arenas were weird, but it was also just weird starting a job, not knowing when the world was going to resume and when sports was going to resume. So that's kind of, like, that's what sticks out in my mind is just, it felt like a long period of time, like 2 years, and then it also felt like 2 months. Like, it was very memorable, and at the same time, it just felt like one extremely long day.
Yeah, I think he surmised it well. I kind of miss the empty arenas, to be honest with you. I don't miss the wave. I don't miss wedding proposals. I don't miss drunk fans. I sit right next to, like, the fans who buy, like, expensive seats, so it's like, as Omari knows, there's two individuals who like to chat my ear off while I'm trying to work. But all jokes aside, it was definitely weird. I'm trying to remember where I watched the draft at. I think I was just at home because they didn't do anything. Obviously, I didn't go to the draft because nobody went to the draft. And wait, I don't even know that draft. There wasn't a, it was through Zoom, that draft, right?
Yeah, it was Zoom.
Yeah, that's right.
The whole thing was remote, yeah.
That's right. So, yeah, I didn't go. And then also because of COVID, the Pistons usually do, if you don't go to the draft, they'll have, like, the beat writers, like, in a media room to speak to people right after. And they didn't do that either. So, yeah, I just watched it at home. There was a – luckily for us – wait, Omari, were you – did you start – was the shutdown before that draft or after?
The shutdown was before.
That's right. That's right.
Was like, yeah, because the draft was, like, a month before the season started that December.
That's right. So it was interesting that they, thankfully Troy did all of his, like, trading before draft day. So we kind of just knew where they were picking as opposed to the Ivy Duran draft, which is another story for another day. That was wild.
Man. And you guys are getting swabbed, like, what, once a day, basically?
Getting slobbed? What does that mean?
No, not slobbed.
Oh, swabbed.
James,
oh, okay.
This is a family show, man.
I heard the same. I heard the same thing as James. I wasn't going to say anything.
I got to admit.
I was going to wait for the context clues. Like, I was like, I'm pretty sure he didn't say that. I'm just going to wait and see where this goes before I.
And you know me, I couldn't resist. I thought there was some slang I didn't know. No, we weren't getting swabbed. We never got. Oh, we did go get swabbed.
We had to get tested maybe before the season started. Like, I remember having to submit tests, but that might have been the season after when we were like partially open.
Yeah, we didn't go in the locker room that COVID season, so no. we didn't need to be tested. We weren't around the players.
Yeah, like I mean everything was shut down in the arena, like not even just the actual arena, but like the media room, the press conference rooms, yeah. Like everything was, I didn't see all that stuff till like a year and a half into the beat.
That's right. Yeah, that's wild.
Well, the good news is that it's still pretty much an empty stadium. So you guys,
hey, people don't know. People make their jokes and they're deserved, but the Pistons are 11th in attendance this year.
Oh. Yeah, it's been pretty good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I like having the crowd personally. It was like, I feel like I was covering basketball during like The Walking Dead or something. Like, it was just the fake crowd noise. Like, it was just weird. I need people. I need the energy of the arena.
11th in attendance. People got to eat somewhere. So might as well be at the arena. Get that sausage house open.
Shout out to Isaac.
Yep. Shout out to Isaac. All right, guys. Well, first, let me just, before we get it, I was going to Las Vegas. And we're sitting in a hotel in Chicago the night before our flight, and I'm watching Mark Cuban look at his phone and see that the league is being shut down. And I'm like, I don't think we should be doing this. Maybe we should just go back home. And we wound up going anyways, but Las Vegas shut down while we were there is the most insane. It was like The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I was in New York. We were in New York. Wait, no,
I hadn't started yet. So I was discovering.
I was in Grizzlies. New York.
Yeah, I was in Portland.
Yeah, I was in New York.
Crazy times.
Very crazy.
All right, gentlemen, let's get into this. Keith, before we start picking, any news and notes beyond the COVID aspect?
Well, yeah, obviously the thing hanging over this draft was it was done remotely because it was a COVID draft. The fact that it was conducted late November times, mm-hmm. 16 months in between the 2019 and the 2020 drafts. Also, and this is more of a localized note, this was the first draft since 1979 that the Detroit Pistons had three first round picks. Essentially, I know technically they traded for one after the fact, but it was on their behalf, so they had three first round picks in this draft. And if you ever want to go back and look at the 1979 draft, my God, that was a disaster. They passed up on multiple all-stars with their first two picks. And if you just look at who was drafted, and this applies to the Dick Vitale era, which was essentially 78 and 79, almost all of his picks were essentially guys from Michigan schools, mm-hmm. guys that he knew he played against. That was basically the extent of his expertise. Like, he passed up on Sidney Moncrief. He actually traded up to draft Greg Kelser. The Milwaukee Bucks, he actually paid the Milwaukee Bucks, like, he got like $50,000 of Bill Davidson's money to trade up to flip picks with the Milwaukee Bucks so they could get Greg Kelser out of Michigan State. Not knowing that the Bucks were going to take Sidney Moncrief like every other intelligent human being would with the fourth pick in the draft. But yeah, if you ever want to look back, it's like all of his draft picks, his early draft picks, you know, John Long, University of Detroit Mercy, Terry Tyler, University of Detroit Mercy, Greg Kelser, Michigan State University, Phil Hubbard, University of Michigan. He just never went outside the state of Michigan. All right, so, but that's really it as far as my notes on this draft. This was essentially Troy Weaver, the new GM at the time for the Detroit Pistons, his coming out party, his wheeling and dealing, going into the draft with one first rounder and coming out with three. And this redraft is going to come as a little bit of a, I don't want to say a final grade because it's only been a few years, and I think that's kind of crazy, but interesting look back just to see how his picks and how the other picks in this draft have performed.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. All that being said, the first pick in the draft representing the Minnesota Timberwolves, who, by the way, have the best record in the NBA right now. I don't know if I'd ever say that in my lifetime, but they do. And a lot of it stems from the fact that they had the first pick in this draft. So, Mike, who do you got for us?
Well, you know how I like to do it, Keith. I'm going to bomb on this entire draft right now, and I am not going to take Anthony Edwards. I am going to take a guy who I've recently fallen in love with because I found out that he's a pro wrestling fan just like me. And he just killed the Boston Celtics the other night, had maybe one of the best games of his entire career. I'm going to go with Mr. Tyrese Haliburton with the number one pick. And it's not just because he's a scorer. This dude also leads the league in assists right now, assists per game. He is having an unbelievable all-star level, all-NBA type season right now. And I mean, much as I like Ant-Man and the showmanship and everything that he can bring to the game, I just think Haliburton is a more complete player, and I think the Timberwolves are going to be even better, even though they have the best record, even better with it.
Can't knock that. When you said not Anthony Edwards, my first thought was the only other guy this could be is Tyrese Haliburton, and you did go with Haliburton.
Yeah. If it would have been anybody else, I would have pressed the red button that said leave. So I'm glad you did.
It was almost Killian Hayes.
Look, anyone from Pistons Twitter that's listening to this right now is probably punching air. But look, let's be fair on one thing. It wasn't just the Detroit Pistons that passed on Tyrese Haliburton. 11 teams passed on Tyrese Haliburton. But he was the 12th pick in the draft. He was not even the pick. He was picked four picks after the Pistons selected Killian Hayes at 7. So let's look at that a little bit in context.
Yeah.
But yeah, that being said, it was kind of an eye raiser because he was expected to go much higher than he did. But yeah, I don't know. To this day, I still don't know how he gets that shot off, that set shot. I get that he's tall as hell, but I don't know. I do recall the one time he tried to shoot that over Asar Thompson. Asar Thompson like blocked it.
Yeah.
And that's the only time I saw him try to shoot over Asar Thompson, but everyone else, it seems, I don't know how he gets that shot off. I'll be honest. He has no lift on it.
No, I know. And I know that scared a lot of teams in the draft. Him, and he's another guy who's not very athletic. It's just the smarts won out. And I think the smarts won out, the IQ won out quicker than people thought.
Yeah, I know that handle is always seen as kind of shaky too. But aside from that one disaster he had against LaMelo Ball earlier in this year, I mean, look, you can't knock a guy that's, you know, the top assist getter of all the point guards in the league, I believe, or at least he's one or two at the moment.
Yep.
Yeah. And what's funny is that he was still an elite shooter in college. Like, he had the weird form, but you look at his numbers and he's continuing what he did in college. So that's another debate as far as the percentage versus shot form. But
yeah. And now he's quarterbacking at least for a quarter of the way through the season, is right now the highest scoring offense in NBA history.
It's crazy.
Phoenix Suns.
I'm sorry?
They're the new Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, they might. Well, they might be. I mean, you know, to be honest with you, they kind of remind me of like the Hornets a couple of years ago when they broke out and they had LaMelo and they were scoring a ton of points and they gave up a ton of points. I still want to kind of wait and see on the Pacers because their defense is really bad. But God, their offense is so damn efficient.
Yeah, I don't think it lasts when playoffs come, but we'll find out.
Yeah. All right, so I probably have the easiest pick in this entire thing. I don't know, because the third, like, there's a break between 1 and 2 and 3 to me, but you guys may feel differently. Golden State Warriors, somehow coming off of a championship, a year later, they've tanked their way to the second pick in the draft. And look, I think we can all agree they blew it in hindsight. No matter who I pick, it's going to be an improvement. But I'm going to go with, to me, the best player on my board, and that's going to be Anthony Edwards. I know some people might say, like, LaMelo Ball might be a little bit better fit with that style of play that they have, but I just can't deny the talent, the raw talent. That's what made Anthony Edwards the number one pick in the draft, despite that everyone was kind of underwhelmed with how he performed in college relative to his talent. But is he one of the top 10, 15 players in the league already at this point? Like, he might be.
Yeah, I think so. He, at least like up to 2 weeks ago, he was comfortably in there to me.
Yeah. By the end of the year, he might get that MVP push, depending on if Minnesota maintains what they're doing.
Yeah, he's an unbelievable offensive player. He's improved tremendously on defense. I think he's a very good defender, actually, at this point.
Yeah, I do,
and
too.
Yeah, like you said, the Minnesota Timberwolves right now, again, we're saying this, you know, December 5th of the season, but right now they're the best team in the league.
So, yeah, you can't knock any of that. Like, how would he fit on Golden State today?
I mean, that would be – they would still – their window would – not that it's closed now, but it would be wide open right now if they had Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, I think they'd be pushing some people out of the door if they had him.
Yeah.
Clay.
Yeah, that's – I don't know. I don't see that. Like, Steph is going to be a Warrior for life, obviously. Same thing with Draymond. But yeah, Clay, I don't know. That seems to be destined to end ugly to me.
Same.
All right. So number three, the Charlotte Hornets. Omari Sankofa is representing them with the third pick. Who do you got for us?
Yeah, this is fun. I'm gonna go with Tyrese Maxey.
Ooh.
Oh, all pick. Right. All right.
Good pick.
That's a bigger curveball than what Mike did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at his numbers right now. 27 points, 6.7 assists, 40% from three, 46 overall. He's having an all-NBA season. The Sixers have not missed a beat really since they lost James Harden, because Maxey now is probably better than James Harden was last season. He's just good. Like, he's just good. And I thought about LaMelo pretty hard, but the injury history for me is just, like, it knocks him down a tad. But I also just think Tyrese Maxey has gotten exponentially better every single year. So there's no telling where he'll be by the time he's 27, 28.
I love that.
Yeah, Maxey, to me personally, he was my sleeper, like the sleeper pick that I fell in love with in this draft class. Like, I wasn't pushing him for, like, seven. But when the Pistons traded up for 19 – like, that was my guy. And I, like, Sadiq Bey, I was perfectly happy with. I'm not going to pretend I was anything else. But yeah, I remember seeing Maxey at Kentucky. Like, yeah, that guy might be a lot better in the NBA than he was in college.
Yeah, he, I mean, I was a little iffy on him just because his size. And I think, I don't know. He just looked like a kid to me, but he still looks like a kid, and it doesn't matter. Like, he has a baby face. It just doesn't matter. He's just so good.
Yeah. He couldn't really shoot in college. And like that, like, he went from like a 30% shooter as a rookie to like 40% as like a sophomore, second season with the Sixers. And if we knew about that shooting improvement, he probably would have been a top five pick, honestly, because he had a lot of other stuff going for him as far as just how quick he is at the first step. And his floater game was great too.
Yeah, it's crazy. He was teammates with James Harden last season, and at a certain point last season, I'm thinking, you know what, I think Tyrese Maxey might actually be better right now. They just need to give him the ball more.
Yeah.
But yeah, since moving on from Harden, I don't want to say that they're better without Harden, but like, they're definitely better with Maxey, like, being the number one primary ball handler. All right, so number four, the Chicago Bulls, and I don't even know what they're doing at this point, if they're rebuilding or if they're staying pat. But one way or the other, James Edwards, you are representing the Chicago Bulls with this pick.
So this one to me is actually tougher than it probably appears. Like, everybody, I think, assumes LaMelo, and I think I'll probably go LaMelo. You know what? I just think that this guy is going to have a longer, healthier career and contribute to more winning. I'm going to do it. Desmond Bane.
Oh.
Spicy.
Desmond Bane. If you look, not even being the primary option on his team, Desmond is averaging 23 this year. I mean, this year he's the primary option. Last year averaged 21.5. Second year in the league, averaged 18. LaMelo, you look at his numbers, 24, 23, and 20. The last 3 years, not significantly better on higher volume and worse efficiency. I just think every team in the NBA can use a Desmond Bane. I think Desmond Bane would start on 99.9% of teams in the NBA. And I just think LaMelo, I just have too much concerns about him defensively. I have too much concerns about his health. Very good player, very fun player. But I think that Desmond Bane is somebody who is has a higher chance of playing a more crucial part in a championship than LaMelo Ball.
Everything you said is 100% correct, and yet still I'm kind of disappointed you did not want to reunite the Ball brothers in Chicago.
I thought about it. I did, but I was like, gosh, that would be – listen, this the city of Chicago's had it bad. They would have had both Ball brothers and neither one of them are playing. Lord have mercy.
But, yeah, look, yeah, I agree with you. Desmond Bane is that type of player. Like, you could put him on any team in the league, and he would play a valuable role no matter what type of team they are. He's just that kind of guy.
I agree. Sorry, LaMelo fans. I feel like your guys' listenership is in a bunch of 19 and 18 and 16-year-olds, so I think some people won't kill me over it.
Yeah, our listenership's a little bit older than that, so
yeah, I think
they'll understand. I think they'll understand.
All right, so we've all each had one pick circling back around. With LaMelo Ball still on the board somehow at number 5. That's pretty great. I didn't see that coming. Mike, you're representing the Cleveland Cavaliers. Who do you got?
Guys, I'm not going to pick LaMelo Ball. I'm not. I mean, they got Darius Garland already. And I mean, at this point, they have Colin Sexton. And, you know, they're going to move on and get, they have Jared Allen on this team already, and they're going to get Evan Mobley next year. I think they need somebody right in the middle of that lineup. And guys, I'm going to do a thing here. I'm going to take Sadiq Bey with this
pick.
I'm going to do it. I'm doing it. It's already done. I'm locking it in. I'm locking it in.
Wow.
It's done.
Mike, you're doing the thing.
I'm doing the thing. I'm doing the thing. I mean, I think that this is a good spot for him. This is he's forced to be a 3-and-D guy here. He's forced to do it, and I think that I mean, the rest of this offense just moves so smoothly around him. I just think, I don't know, I think this is the best fit for him, and I don't, and there's really no other small forward talent in this draft. I mean the next players on my board are what, Cole Anthony, LaMelo Ball, as we had mentioned. I'm not going to take Isaac Okoro here. I mean, this is, the draft is starting to dip.
You're forgetting a couple of wings.
Yeah.
And I think you're overly overvaluing Colin Sexton in this scenario too.
Yeah.
I know he doesn't play there anymore, but
look, everything you said about he being a good fit because the Cavs, you know, thematically, they need a wing. They still kind of need a wing, even with Isaac Okoro.
Yeah, but that being said...
So I nailed it, is what you're saying.
Sadiq Bey is a 3-wing. I'm not going to call him a 3-and-D wing. He is a 3-wing.
He's on the bench in Atlanta.
But look...
Killing it on the bench in Atlanta.
In support of Mike, Sadiq Bey is one of the top 10 players on my board.
Yes.
So this is not a tremendous reach. I will say that I disagree with it, but his logic in picking a wing for the Cavs, which have a lot of bigs and a lot of guards, that's sound.
Mm-hmm. The Pistons, thank you. The Pistons are like, thank God, Sadiq Bey went fifth. So we could take one of the two wings who are having better careers right now.
Yeah. So Mike has now put me in the spot, because now I'm representing the Atlanta Hawks with LaMelo Ball, very clearly the top-rated player on my board. And the Atlanta Hawks at this point have Trae Young.
Yeah. Does everybody see what's about to happen here with Amari's 7th pick? Does everyone see where this is going?
No, because I'm going to take
LaMelo Ball. I don't see where it's going.
Anyway. Oh, okay. I'm going to take LaMelo Ball anyway. Because you know what, LaMelo Ball has proven to be a much better shooter than I think any of us have thought he was going to be in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Do I think he's going to be a great off-ball player? Not necessarily. I do think he and Trae Young,
I think there's a better fit there than you would think at first hand, because LaMelo is a very big guard. Look, 50-50 chance it doesn't work out and they have to move one of them, but I think LaMelo Ball is going to show his skills in any on any team you put him on. So if it doesn't work out, then they're going to get, I think, more value for LaMelo Ball in a trade than they would if I had picked anyone else on this list going forward. At a certain point in the draft, I think, if one guy is just so much higher on your board than everybody else, you got to go with that guy. I'm not going to pretend that this is a great fit for the Hawks, but it could be. And worst case scenario, they can move on from him. The guy is an all-star in a league where it's very hard to make the all-star game.
Or it gives them an option to move on from Trae Young, too.
I like that.
Just gives you a little more wiggle room to do things.
Yep. All right, so now we circle around to Omari, who is representing the Detroit Pistons for their first of three picks this evening. The seventh pick belongs to Omari Sankofa.
I know he's taking one of two guys. I'm curious to see which one he goes with.
Making the very first pick, in hindsight, of the Troy Weaver administration. Omari, yeah, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I mean, I gave a pretty big hint earlier, so I know the two guys James thinking of, not Killian Hayes. I'm going to go with Devin Vassell, San Antonio Spurs, just having a really good season. I think an underrated season, averaging 20 points. He's shooting 40% from three, 50% overall. Was a great defender in college. I'm not going to sit here and act like I've watched enough Spurs basketball and know how well he's defended in the NBA, but I know that that was a selling point for him coming into the draft. And he's just a good starting point. You just look at what the Pistons have lacked over the years, and it's just been good 3-and-D wings, and they've tried to add some over the course of the rebuild and haven't really quite succeeded. And I just think he's a foundational piece. He's probably not going to be your best player, but you can add to him. We know the upcoming drafts are going to add some point guards anyway, so that backs me away from Emmanuel Quickley, who I think I would have considered here otherwise. But yeah. I just like Devin Vassell a lot. I think he's a home run at number seven.
Good pick.
Yeah, Vassell and Quickley were basically 1 and 1A on my board. I don't think he would have gone wrong with either pick.
Ooh, okay. Mine's going to be a little different then for the next one.
Yeah, I know who James is thinking.
Okay, but all right, so just quick thought exercise. How do you think the Pistons would be different today if you swapped out Killian Hayes for Devin Vassell?
Devin Vassell would still be here, I think. Like, that would be – I think
probably would have gotten extended, huh?
Probably would have got extended. Yeah. Like, if you're picturing they draft him here and they don't get Sadiq Bey, I think Devin is still with the team. There's no James Wiseman. He fits a need that, like, they need a guy who can defend and shoot the three ball. Like, that's probably the most glaring weakness on the team right now from the wing spot.
They probably don't take Sadiq later.
Yeah, exactly. We don't get a fifth. We don't get the Sadiq game winners in memorable moments he gave us in a
51-point game on
the 51 ball.
Yep. I don't think Vassell's getting that, but I think he's starting and the team is not as clunky, I guess, as maybe some people feel.
Okay. I was just curious. That's all really interesting. I'm going to do this with all three Pistons picks. I'm just warning you guys ahead of time.
I love it. That's a good question.
All right. So James, you are up next representing the New York Knicks with the eighth pick.
So this is just how my draft philosophy is. You just can't have enough 3-and-D wings. Mm-hmm. And I think arguably the one that gets, I mean, he plays in a small market, but like us basketball nerds, like we see everybody talk about him, and it's Jaden McDaniels.
Yep. Yeah.
Just think like he's an all defense waiting to happen. Scoring a little bit down this year, but that's fine. That's not what he's there to do. He's still shooting 38% from three on three attempts a game, 39%, basically 40% last year on, two attempts, three attempts. So just a great kind of glue guy, connector from your playmakers to your bigs. going to hit the open shots, going to defend at a high level. One of those guys, again, I'm all for drafting the guy that's going to play on 99.9% of teams in the NBA in a high role. And I just don't think that there's a better wing. I think there are other guys with more upside left. Yes. I think based on what we know, I think Jade McDaniels is a guy that everybody would feel comfortable with having on their team right now. And actually would, I'm sure there are a lot of teams who have called Minnesota often over the last few years to try to get Jade McDaniels.
Yeah. Mike, when you said you were going to take a wing with the Cavs, this is who I thought you were going to pick. Jaden McDaniels. Like, all right. For some context, this is where we are in the year 2023 in the NBA. Let me inform everyone on Jaden McDaniels' career averages. Yeah. Just in case or anyone at home isn't following his fantastic career. 9.6 points, 3.8 rebounds, 1.4 assists. Almost a 1-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. Also, $131 million. That's what the Timberwolves gave him to hold on to him. So, and everything James said is 100% correct. He is a fantastic role. He's a role player, but he is like the quintessential. Yeah, he is the ideal role player wing that you want in the NBA in 2023 and going forward. Because not his volume statistics don't tell the story, but he is incredibly efficient. And he is one hell of a defender, and he's only going to get better as time goes on.
Thank you, Keith. I feel like I'm having a good draft between Desmond Bain and Jaden McDaniels. I did maybe a reach on Bain, but I'm sticking to that one.
No, both of your picks I thought were good.
Thank you, Cash. I
appreciate that. Appreciate that.
Not yours.
So my pick was fantastic.
No, yours was good. Devin was good. Pick was...
All right.
Now, Mike.
On the things that are the opposite. Good. I'm not talking about Mike. I'm talking about the Washington Wizards.
Okay, go ahead.
However, representing them will be my co-host, Mike Payton, who will be making the 9th pick on the draft on behalf of the Wizards. I don't think that there's anything really to uphold here. So, Mike, the floor is yours. You can pick pretty much whoever you want. We're not going to rip you.
Okay. Killian Hayes is... No,
don't test it.
No. I'm not. Killian's not going here. But I am going to take a guard here because right now, as I look at their roster, they've got Bradley Beal. We know he's gone. They traded for Russell Westbrook in December. I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen. Even though like it wasn't really that bad, I thought Russ in Washington was okay. Helped him get to the playoffs. And they got Ish Smith and Cassius Winston. My guy, Cassius Winston. James and our guy, Cassius Winston.
And Ish Smith. I love Ish Smith.
Yeah, well, you got to love Ish Smith. I met him at Lions training camp a few years ago. He's very nice.
Nicest guy.
I am going to take – I'm going to take Cole Anthony here.
Good pick.
Okay. I think any team, if you're starting to build, which is what the Wizards are going to do – I build around a point guard. I mean, I know like this isn't the best point guard, but it's a start. Like it's not going to be your best player, but he could be a good, somewhat good facilitator. I think he needs to be better at that. But I mean, there are far worse players in this draft, so that's a strategy that you can't beat right there.
Yeah, I mean, he's been sneaky good this year. 15 points, 44% overall. He's shooting 37% from three. He's been solid. He would definitely be a guy, I think, who would go a lot higher in any redraft. Just because his college stats were just not great at all. But he just seemed like a guy who would pop at some point.
Yeah, I watched that North Carolina team that he was on. It was just not many people were going to succeed on that team.
Nah.
I'm with you. Yeah, I like that pick. I forgot Quickly was there. I think you're fine with either one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Cole Anthony has had an impressive season. I mean, listen, they've given him every reason not to play him with the guards that they've kind of accumulated the last few years, and they can't keep him off the floor. So that says a lot about him. I mean, they brought in Markel. They brought in Jalen Suggs has popped a little
Anthony
bit.
Black.
Anthony Black. Like, they've given Cole Anthony every reason to, like, not be on the floor, and he's on the floor and they can't keep him off. So kudos to Cole Anthony.
All right. So, yeah, Cole Anthony and Quickley, to me, they're actually – they're almost the same type of player. They're like the ideal third guard, that instant offense type off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cole Anthony's a little bit better scorer. Quickley, I think, is a better defender. But I think generally they play the same role. And speaking of Quickley, I'm going to take him with no hesitation for the Suns at number 10. And I think this is actually the most impactful because the guy they took was, what, Jalen Smith? Had no the Suns at this point in 2020 are about to go on an NBA Finals run, and they need all the help that they can get. And Jalen Smith really didn't help them at all. He's proven to be an NBA player, just not in Phoenix. Yep. So, I mean, and what would Quickley give them, especially with Chris Paul, who was hurt all the time that season? Well, he's always hurt all the time. And Quickley, as I just went over, ideal third guard. He was good pretty quickly in the NBA. I don't want to say that he would swing the NBA Finals, but I think they're definitely in better position to absorb his injuries with Quickley on board.
I like that pick.
Yeah, I like it too. I thought Mike was going to go Quickley, so that's a good fit.
Yeah, I thought Mike was, but honestly, yeah, Quickley and Anthony were the two. It was just like Vassell and it was just like one and one A. Yeah. So number 11, the San Antonio Spurs, and they're kind of on their slow march down to the basement, which they're still on apparently, even with Victor. Omar, who you got for us?
Yeah, this is actually tough. I feel like this is the point where you could probably go with like six different guys and there's no incorrect answer. So I'm just trying to think of like the 2011 Spurs and what they've done since, because this is tough. I don't know who I want. I think I'm going to go Josh Green. You know, I just like he's a good win. He hasn't had the biggest role in Dallas, but defensively, he really had a breakout season last year. He shot the three pretty well, and he just seems like a guy to be. You give him a bigger role, and he could step up and still maintain that efficiency. So Josh Green for me at 11.
A good pick.
Yeah. The Spurs at this point had like a couple years where they were the last team to make the play-in in the Western Conference before they just decided to immediately just, okay, we're just going to full out tank because we can't fall out of the playoffs despite ourselves.
Mm.
But yeah, there's, I mean, I really know it. Here's the thing with Josh Green is that he's that one guy from this draft class that every summer all anyone talks about is how much he's improved. Like even into the preseason, this is going to be the year he breaks out. And then this is like we're on year two or three of this, where this is going to be the year because the Mavericks got ripped for drafting him his rookie year because all the rookies that got drafted around him were contributors at the very least, and he was just buried on the bench. And look, he plays now. It's almost like it's like you can see the potential with him, but it's never realized on the court. Maybe I'm off base on that. It's just every time when I see him play a preseason game, he looks like an all-star. When I see him play a game that matters, I'm underwhelmed.
But like I agree. I'm still torn on him. Like I see the upside there, but like I also just like I don't know. Like is that a guy that it'll click? I don't know. I'm weird on him. I'm not a big fan, but I see the vision.
Like I think I would see the vision much better with a guy like Greg Popovich.
Yeah,
trying to develop him because Greg Popovich very rarely fails to, especially with young guards. He seems to get them to their max potential, no matter who they are.
I agree.
All right, so James, you're on board now with the Sacramento Kings at number 12.
So this one's tough for me, simply because I feel like we're entering like Isaiah Stewart territory here. When you look at who's left, and especially when you factor in the Sacramento Kings. So like in the 2019-20 season, they were a terrible rebounding team and they were just like a little worse than league average defensive team, shot the three ball well. They could like, I don't even know if I can name like who's their backup big right now. Is it Lyles? Is it still
Rashawn Holmes? Might have been Holmes.
Rashawn Holmes was their backup big forever.
At that time, is he still there? I don't think so. Much Kings this year.
No, I don't. Where did he go to? I know he left them recently.
Yeah, he did.
Dallas. He's with Dallas.
He's in Dallas. That's what it is. Dallas. So, you know what? I'm gonna hold on to. I'm not gonna pick Isaiah here. So whoever has 13, I know. I think you guys probably know that the Pelicans really wanted Isaiah. So if you want to, the Pelicans can get him here. I'm gonna go. This one's gonna go off the cuff a little bit. You can never have too much shooting. And quietly, one of the best shooters in the NBA is in this draft. Isaiah Joe.
Ooh.
I like that.
He's on my board.
Yeah, I'm going to go Isaiah Joe here at 12. Best shooter in this draft. In a draft that, now that we've gotten this kind of far, it doesn't really have any guys that I think any of us would comfortably say are going to be for sure NBA starters going forward. So sign me up for the guy who I know is going to shoot minimum on a poor season, like his worst season possible, is going to shoot 38% from three.
I was kind of hoping you'd take a defensive player just because that's the one thing the Kings seem to be lacking. But like Isaiah Joe is just such a fun, like he fits right in there. Like,
yeah.
If anyone's ever seen Isaiah Joe play, everyone knows him. He's a 3-point shooter, but his threes are like the most entertaining threes. Like he shoots moon balls.
Yes.
Like I'm waiting for him to hit the Jumbotron. Like they go so damn high in the air. Like you need to time it when it comes down.
He's fun. And just for people who aren't aware, he's shooting 46% on 6 attempts a game this season.
Now, all right. Now, do you guys know what of his career, what percentage of his field goal attempts are threes?
I think it's like, isn't it like 85%?
It's 80% of his career field goal attempts are 3-pointers.
Sign me up, good at living. Like, is there a better job on planet Earth? There's no better job than to be the guy just to hoist threes. 3-point line to 3-point line, baby.
Yes. Steve Kerr was the pioneer.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, the original guy that shot like 45% and nothing but 3-pointers and the occasional, you know, elbow shot in the finals.
Yeah. Shout out to Isaiah Joe.
Mike, we set the stage for you. You're representing the Pelicans at number 13.
Well, I'm going to take Beef Stew here. Not because James, you know, but it's just because it makes sense. This team is going to wind up trading for Steven Adams in November. But before that, they have Jackson Hayes, Willie Hernan Gomez, and some guy named Will Magne. So obviously they need a big, and here's their big. And I would think that New Orleans would probably be more apt to keep him at center rather than try to force him to be a power forward. I don't know. I mean, there's
him and Zion next to each other, I think would be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I agree. I think that, I don't know, maybe he still learns how to shoot the three ball there. Who knows? But I think he's a much better fit in New Orleans.
Mike, when you came into the draft, was it in the back of your mind, like, I'm going to make sure I take the Pistons guys? Did it just kind of happen that way?
Well, the Sadiq Bey thing, I was determined to be an idiot in front of everyone, but everything else just kind of falling into place.
Okay.
I love it. It's worked the way it's worked out.
Men of the people.
So we have interesting how we have two of Troy Weaver's picks have gone off the board earlier than they originally selected. And really, this the first 13 has kind of been a referendum against the Killian Hayes pick. Because Sadiq Bey, like, you can question Mike for where he picked him, but he was in my top 10.
He would have gone by this point, regardless. Yes.
I think all four of us, we would have picked him eventually before the 19th pick. So,
yes,
that, no doubt. In retrospect, still a good pick. Isaiah Stewart, as much as people, I don't know how the things turned against Isaiah Stewart over the last year.
It's weird.
It's because he was a fan favorite his rookie year, but he's still a good player. You're just focusing on the thing that he struggles with rather than the things that, you know, he's proven to be very good at, which is, you know, one of the most switchable bigs in the entire league defensively. A guy that will defend the paint for you, even though he doesn't give you the shot block numbers.
Right.
And he's developing as a 3-point shooter after having, you know, never shot a three in college and
really not his first 2 years in the league. Like, he's still getting better.
And I don't get the whole, like, he's only making them because he's open. It's like, isn't that his job? Like, I don't, like, why is that being held against him?
Well, I think the argument is that if he's that open all the time, he should be shooting 50%. Like, and maybe some bigs would. Like, maybe there are some stretch bigs that would be shooting 50 if no one ever guarded them in the corner. But right. Like, he's not at that. He doesn't need to be at that point right now. He's still 22 years old.
I can't say anything else about him. I'll get dragged across the floor. So I'm just, but I agree.
Yeah. I feel like there's a gap between what people perceive Isaiah Stewart should be and what he is. Like, I have a buddy who's like, they got him shooting threes. He needs to be down in the post. And I'm like, he's more effective as a 3-point shooter than a post scorer. You know, I think he kind of has like the Ben Wallace physique, and people imagine he's that type of guy, and that's just not his game. But I think that works against him.
And I also think too that, this fan base has been so scarred that just because a draft pick in the first round isn't a star doesn't mean like there's not value there. Like, yeah. Isaiah will play. They don't believe me when I say it, but Isaiah will play. There are good teams that often ask about Isaiah Stewart. So I don't know what else to say about it, but go ahead, Keith. We've derailed long enough.
The thing that I always say, and I'll just leave it at this, Isaiah Stewart, God forbid he actually finds his way onto a contending team. Like, everybody's going to rave about him every other, because then he won't be asked to do too much. He can just perform in his role, which, again, not many bigs in the league can do what he does defensively. Not many intimidate physically the way he does anymore. Like, he'll be that guy that everyone, oh, man, they got that guy. That guy's a real contributor.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, number 14, the Boston Celtics. They got this from Memphis for Jeff Green. That I don't even remember that deal, but they did.
That's some good GMing.
Yeah, that really is. Like, Jeff Green was still old at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's 37 now, right? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, all right, what player would I think, what player would be the best fit on the Celtics? There's a couple of them. Oh boy. Just give me, I know we're short on time here. Just give me about 10 seconds.
No, you're fine.
You know, I'm going to take the guy that can hit corner threes. Patrick Williams out of Florida State.
Okay. Ooh, I like that. Okay.
Yeah, spicy a little bit.
Yeah, he was
that was like everybody's how did this guy's stock jump this high? In like 2 weeks prior to the draft, where he went from like a mid-round or a mid-first pick to like a top-five pick all of a sudden, to the point that like Troy Weaver couldn't even get a hold of him at seven.
But yeah, he's had an interesting career. Like, super athletic.
He can shoot when he's open, but doesn't do a whole lot of that playmaking. And everyone just assumed like that was going to develop over time. It still hasn't really developed, but he's still a very good player. Like, he can still do the 3-and-D things that you would want from a power forward slash big wing in the league. So I'm actually kind of surprised that he's dropped this far. But yeah, I still think he's a tremendous fit for the Celtics, because that's exactly the type of four they want.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I almost thought you were going to just keep Aaron Nesmith there, but the Indiana version of Aaron Nesmith, which is ironically enough, like, would help the Celtics. But
yeah,
everybody takes a little bit of time.
See, I would have, but then if I pick Aaron Nesmith, I'm just setting the same course of event. Like, he's not going to be any better for the Celtics.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Okay. So, number 15, the Orlando Magic.
I think they're the best record in the East right now, correct?
Yeah, they're the second best, I think, behind the Celtics, but it's like neck and neck. It's like one game, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they're defensively, they are tremendous. Like, if you look at their pieces, like, offensively, they don't really fit well at all.
Yeah.
Because you got a lot of guys, like, you got two forwards that really want to handle the ball and get to the rim, and neither of them are great shooters, but they play such ferocious defense, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Like, their offense is actually pretty bad.
Yeah, it is.
Like, they're just defenses out of this.
They have a lot of the same problems the Pistons do, where they don't attempt very many threes, they don't hit very many threes. But defensively, they're just so dominant, it doesn't really matter, because they're so good at defending the rim and forcing turnovers.
Yep.
Yeah, last I checked, they had the best defensive rating. They might have been passed by Minnesota, but I'm pretty sure they're top two still.
Yeah, them and Minnesota have been 1 and 2 the whole – and those are the two top records in the league. Defense still wins everybody.
Yep.
All right. So, Amari, who do you got for the Orlando Magic?
I feel like he's pretty underrated. I thought he might be gone. I'm going to go Onyeka Okongwu.
Okay.
Who, you know, just a good bouncy big, a little undersized, but well, defensively he's always been sound, efficient, knows his role. He's another guy. I just think every team keeps a player like him. I don't know if he'll ever become a starting big, but at this point, just getting a guy who I know can give me 20 minutes every night is pretty good.
Yeah, I think his biggest problem in the NBA has been Clint Capella. Because Clint Capella, everyone just assumed he was just a placeholder, you know, until Okongwu started developing. And this Clint Capella is too damn good to take out of the starting lineup.
Yeah. I think Okongwu on like another team would be fantastic.
I agree. I'm curious to see when he gets his time to shine. I like him. I think I see like certain section of basketball Twitter that's like really, really loves him. And I think he's just fine. But I feel like that could change if we see him in a role where it's more defined and more carved out for him.
Yeah. Pretty good switchable defender, good lob threat, just kind of limited on other stuff. But yeah, like what the things that he does are the things that you want out of a modern center anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So representing the Detroit Pistons with a number 16 pick, that switched hands several times. I think Portland had it, then the Rockets had it. James Edwards,
who do you have for us with Troy Weaver's second pick of the day? Keeping in mind the first pick of the day was Devin Vassell.
So the irony here is, at this point, the Pistons need a point guard. They need a point guard for the future. They need somebody with high upside. If I'm taking my mind back to that time and factoring in what I know now, I still think they would take Killian Hayes here.
Okay.
I think it's more palpable for the fans years later if the career has gone how it's gone. Like, I don't think any of us, do we think Killian gets a second contract somewhere? Yes. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I think his performance this year, if he keeps it up, yes.
Yes. But like, would I bet a lot of money on it? No, like I wouldn't, but it's like the best, like when we see the best version of Killian, it's like, okay, like he's an NBA point guard. He's an NBA bench point guard. This class, when you're again, I could go Peyton Pritchard, I could go Malachi Flynn, but you want to go upside, right? Like, I think Trey Jones, like, I just think Killian still, even though things are iffy still, like, the upside is still there with him because of how young he is. So Killian Hayes still ends up in Detroit.
Yeah, this is a very point guard starved draft out of the top, you know, few guys.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm right there. Like, Killian Hayes, I just looked down. Killian Hayes was the third best player left on my board, and he was the best point guard. So
yeah. At least I'm on the right track. If I line up with Keith's board, I'm good.
You're killing me.
I feel good.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you take Vassell with the seventh pick. You need to go point guard, really. Yeah. Either that or a center, and there wasn't one on the board. So no, yeah. Like Pistons Twitter is going to hate this, but James is absolutely right. Like, Killian Hayes is a very defensible pick at 16.
Yeah, I don't know who else goes there.
That's like, if you're factoring in upside potential, I still think it's Killian. And sorry to cut you off. Oh, just really quick. The irony is, all of Weaver's guys are off the board by the time he's done picking in the first round. It's just different order.
So yeah.
Was it really that bad of a draft, or do people just have too high expectations for this specific class?
Yeah, I think it's fair to look at a draft class. Like, if you're trying to grade a GM on who he's picked, you have to look at the class. Don't look at the players that went right after. Like, mm-hmm. That's not really fair, because everybody else passed on that same guy.
Yes.
You'd want to look at the draft class and say, okay, in a redraft like this, at the seventh pick, did he draft one of the top 10 players in the draft, and et cetera, et cetera. And mm-hmm. Look, I think we can conclusively say, even though, like, he wouldn't have wound up with an all-star anyway if everyone had perfect hindsight, right? Yeah. Devin Vassell would be the best player that he drafted.
Yep.
100%. And if you want to say, like, with the seventh pick, did he get a guy that would go in the top 10 in a redraft? No. But outside of the lottery, he has two guys that would have went in the lottery, more likely than not, too. So,
yeah.
Depends on how you want to slice it.
Yeah, like, look, and it, yeah, if you could go back and take Tyrese Halliburton with the seventh pick, you know who else would have taken Tyrese Halliburton? All of the other teams that, if they had a time machine, they could have gone back. Like,
right.
All right, so each of us have one more pick remaining. Mike, you go first. You're picking for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mike, you're on mute. You've been on mute for a while.
All right, I'm going to make this one real quick because I'm a big believer of, I think players just need to get drafted in the right place. And sometimes they don't, and I think that affects their career until they find the right place. And ultimately, I'm going to take another Troy Weaver guy here. I am going to select James Wiseman with this pick.
Mm. Oh, I forgot about Wiseman. Holy shit. Yeah.
Who did you think I was going to take?
I thought you were going to take R.J. Hampton or something.
No, I thought you were going to take
Saban Lee.
No. I'm sorry, Mike.
We thought you were going to take an NBA player.
No, I did. I took an NBA player. Look, I'm telling you, man, I think the problem with Wiseman is he has just been in the two worst possible places that he could be in. Golden State had no time for him. Detroit is just not a good place to be right now. And I think you sent him to Oklahoma City. Maybe they take their time with him. They do have Al Horford on the roster right now. What a better guy. I mean, could you learn from a better guy? Like one of the, you know, oldest guys in the league. He's 58 years old. He played against Bob Lanier, for crying out loud. Like, Al Horford's old is what I'm trying to say. But I just think it's a better situation for him. And plus, you know, I just really think that it's a better situation. That's all I can really say. There's really nothing I could say to make this seem like a super smart pick to you guys.
But I mean, hey, listen, there's slim pickings left. Is there a guy or two I would have taken over him? Yeah, but like, I just forgot. Look, I just forgot.
Yeah, look, your argument for potential is your best one because he does, like, if you look at the raw athletic tools, there's an argument that if you give him to a team that knows exactly what to do with him and that gets 100% out of him, that he could be the best player remaining of this draft class.
That's true. Yeah.
Of this remaining pool, anyway.
That's not Sadiq Bey at five. Don't beat yourself up over that one. That's a good one.
It is. Yeah. And we could say all of Weaver's picks went in the top 17. So that counts for something, I guess. It's a pistol spot.
So the
Dallas RJ Hampton time, Keith.
No, it is not. The Dallas Mavericks are up, and I should say just the Dallas Luka Doncic's are up because every player that they have seems to be, you know, the guy that fits around him. I mean, other than maybe Kyrie, and I think Kyrie is a pretty decent pairing, at least on the floor. Yeah, there's one player that sticks out like a sore thumb here. That's Aaron Nesmith. It's 46% from three this season. Granted, he didn't work out in the Celtics in Boston originally, the team that picked him, and they moved him to Indiana where he's thrived. I don't think that's because it took him too long to develop. I just don't think I don't think Boston had enough time. I think Dallas certainly, they have plenty of time to develop him. I think he would work out famously just catch and shoot threes playing with Luka. I think that'd be a great fit for him. Also, he's proven to be a pretty good defender too, which Dallas has always needed.
Yeah. I was hoping you forgot about Nesmith because I was definitely going to take him at 19. I mean, he's really the only like bona fide good player left. I think like 45% from three this season is absolutely insane too. This is by far the best year of his career. We did this a year ago. He probably would have slipped down to 20 or 21.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that, yeah.
All right, so number 19, the final Detroit Pistons pick of the day. This was originally Brooklyn's, then it went to the Clippers, then it went to the Sixers. It was originally the Sixers, then it went to the Clippers, then the Nets, and then was traded to the Pistons for Luke Kennard and four second rounders. Without further ado, Omari Sankofa making his final pick of the day. Who do you got for us?
If you looked up rotation guy in the dictionary, it would be his face next to it. Obi Toppin.
Okay.
Obi Toppin.
Yeah, it's a good pick. Yeah.
Solid three-point shooter. He's at 36.9% this year, career high. He's actually shooting 60% from the floor. You know, I assume Tyrese is just throwing them lobs all day. I don't think he's that good defensively, but, you know, he's actually started a good amount of games for it. He is starting games for Indiana. He started 18 games. I actually didn't realize that. Okay, yeah. I feel a lot better about that pick. Obi Toppin.
He probably should have went a little higher, honestly.
Yeah, probably should have went higher. I did not realize he was starting for Indiana this year.
Yeah, I remember on draft day he got knocked a little bit because he was a little bit older than, than all the other prospects. But, yeah, he's such a fun player, man. Like, he hasn't always been a good player, but even when, on his bad days, he's super fun. I think he was kind of victimized by his own draft slot, or he couldn't deal with, you know, being a top 10 pick for the Knicks, which was – I thought they overdrafted him there anyway.
Yeah.
But he's just one of those guys, like, if you pick him 8th, you're disappointed. If you pick him 19th, like, he's a fan favorite. Like, it's kind of the unfair part of the draft is how you can be the exact same player, but given on where you're drafted, you're either looked at as a pleasant surprise or a disappointment.
Agreed. It changes the whole thing.
Yeah. And it should. We need to put things in context better. All right. So, yeah, before we get into our final pick of the day, I know we're running low on time. The Detroit Pistons with their three picks, Devin Vassell, Killian Hayes, and Obi Toppin. So that we have convened today in perfect hindsight and redrafted those three picks from the 2020 draft, and that is our draft haul. I rest my case. If those are good players, maybe people would prefer, you know, Vassell and Obi certainly to Isaiah Stewart and Sadiq Bey, but is this anything to get enraged about? Like, I'm as upset at Troy Weaver as anybody, if not more. But his drafting is not my problem at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I would say definitely, like, Vassell's of that class is the best player. But then it's like after that, I don't know. You're kind of – it's up to preference at that point.
Yeah. But even with that, and I'm not rewinding to dump – You said it was a dumb pick, so I'm just going back to it. Like, you went Sadiq Bey 5. If Sadiq Bey goes lower, then that actually means Vassell goes higher, and
right. You're
Jaden McDaniels at 7, which is still a great pick for 7. Like, don't get me wrong, but you're also not getting Haliburton or Edwards or any of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so just because we had to round this out into an even 20 picks, just out of curiosity, who would go next, James, for the Miami Heat?
I'm going to be a little bit of a homer here. I also think he just fits, quote unquote, Heat culture very well. Doesn't play a lot of games, but solid, fine player. Xavier Tillman here.
There we go. Go green.
Go white, baby. I think, I don't know why, but like, he feels like a Miami Heat player. Would be a great third big for them. Can defend. Just does the dirty work.
Hard-nosed
guy. Yeah. Like, I thought about Zeke Nnaji here, obviously Peyton Pritchard. Kenyon Martin Jr. is fun, right?
A guy.
But I think, like, Xavier Tillman, like, I think actually, like, provides something that some title-level teams would want.
Yeah, I was kind of looking at, like, Denny Avdia, like, being none of us picked Denny Avdia. Like, he would have been like one of those Heat culture guys too. That guy that does a little bit of everything. But look, no, there's
I crossed him, like, off mine. I don't know why I did that.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, Isaac Okoro, which I think Isaac Okoro has kind of salvaged his career a little bit because we were kind of wondering if he would make it his first couple of years, but now he's actually developed into a halfway decent catch and shoot guy, and he's always been a good defender. But some guys on my board, at least, that didn't get picked. Denny Avdia, Isaac Okoro, Najee Marshall, and Jalen Smith.
Nick Richards was in that draft, too.
Yeah.
Yep. Trey Jones is fine. I had him on my list. Peyton Pritchard, I mean, he plays minutes on an NBA team. John Hollinger's favorite player, Paul Reed. Yeah, that was really it. I mean, this draft just wasn't.
Yeah.
In hindsight, like, yeah, it's fine. Like, the top, where did LaMelo go?
Six.
Like, the top, after the six, and I would swap Devin for Sadiq. Steelers' choice at that point.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's beating themselves up over it.
Yeah.
Well, they are.
I think the worst thing you can say about Troy's draft is that he gave up a future first, you know, for the 16th pick in a draft class that was kind of a little bit underwhelming.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yep. And it just like ties the flexibility up and all that stuff right now. Yeah.
So I like, maybe in retrospect, people would rather just have that pick back and not pick anybody. But just having made that trade, I don't think like he's picked, I don't think any of his picks were bad players.
No, like, not at all.
It's just, yeah. And I think looking at it without context is, you know, kind of really unfair. Like, I don't know what else to say about it other than this 2020 draft class, Troy Weaver, I think, gets a passing grade in retrospect.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. I don't think it was a home run, but I do think, and I also think it's important to remember too, and he's has said this publicly, like part of that draft class was getting guys for anticipation of what was to come in terms of, it was going to be tough and it was going to be losing. And it's like guys who could handle that, and like culture setters. And I just think, again, I won't spend more than 5 seconds on it because everybody, it's whatever, but Isaiah Stewart fits that to a T, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, me and Amari are around every day. Like, that's the guy that makes everything beat for that team. And I don't know. Oh, yeah, can you say something about Isaiah?
I was about to say, I think Troy Weaver was going to leave that draft with Isaiah Stewart. Like, I would say at all costs, but I think he was a very high priority, you know, given the trade that they did to get him. And yeah, I mean, if we're just ranking players as far as importance to the Pistons, like, I think even Troy said it last year, like, when Isaiah went down last year, it was like losing our 1B just because of how much competitiveness he brings to the team. So yeah, they really respect him. They love him in Detroit, and he would have, one of those picks would have been Isaiah. If he had to get about seven, depending on who was there, that might have been a conversation. So
yeah.
Well, agreed. That, guys, is going to wrap up the 2020 NBA draft. I want to thank James and Amari for coming on the show. And before we go, since we don't have the button cardigan anymore, so there's something that I've been missing, James, and that's music from you and from Nick. And so before we go, James, if you could share your socials and where everybody can find you and then what you're listening to right now.
I'm on Twitter at JL Edwards III. That's really the only one I use for like work purposes. The Instagram is for family, friends. What am I listening to right now? Who do I want to give a shout out to? Go listen to Danny Brown, 40. If you haven't listened, just a little Detroit tie. And check out Estenack, Estenack, if you haven't either.
Amari, same question for you.
Yeah, you could find me on Twitter at first and last name, OmariSankofa. My work is at the Free Press, of course. And what am I listening to right now? Listening to a lot of stuff. I'm going to give Mike.
I was going to say, you better not walk out of here without shouting out Mike.
He's had three projects in the last year that are all really good. And Spotify said he was my most listened to artist by a pretty wide margin. Like, four of my top five songs were Mike songs. So check him out.
All right. Well, I better throw one in there too. I've been listening to IDK's F65. I'm pretty sure I'm IDK's biggest fan. I've been listening to this dude forever. If you guys haven't heard his stuff, I definitely recommend it. But
I've only heard the song with Doom, J Electronica,
yeah,
and West Side Gun. Is he on there?
Yep.
I need to dive into him a little bit more.
Just did that Quesadada album in June, or was that last year? That made it came out last year, but he has a really good.
Oh, I know that. I'll check that out.
Yeah.
I would start with I Was Very Bad. That's like my favorite album of his. It's back. It's from 2017, but every song on it is great.
All right. I'll check it out. I'll get back to you.
All right. For myself and Keith, we will see you guys next week. We don't know what we're doing just yet, but we'll let you know as soon as we know. So later.